Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
We're back to cap off our Christopher Nolan trilogy of films that he's made that we're talking about. Not all of his films, we've missed some. People are like, what about Memento? What about it?
It's more than three. That's more than three movies.
That's right.
But this isn't about that. This is three movies which he calls the Nolan Palooza. And what's momentous about this one as well, I think, it's the center point of both the Nolan Palooza and the renaissance of great roles played by Matthew McConaughey, or as people in the know call, the Matthew Palooza.
You're absolutely right.
Interstellar. The movie Interstellar.
See, what this is, it's an epic journey across time and space starring Matthew McConaughey as a woman searches for her father long lost. 1997's Contact is what I'm talking about, Mason.
Oh, I've done that joke again.
I meant to do it last week with Shutter Island.
Oh, okay, right.
But I forgot.
There's still time to edit it in.
It's too late, Mason.
That's a shame.
Yeah, anyway, leave a like if you could.
Leave a like if, like James, you believe that all of Christopher Nolan's work is highly derivative of another work.
I do not believe that, actually. I think he's highly inventive and unique in his outlook and interpretation of things that have come in the past. This is kind of it's one of those movies that's like, it's a 2001-esque kind of
very much
homage.
So, yeah.
You know, like your Solarises, movies of that elk.
You're trying very hard not to mention the Danny Boyle movie Sunshine, which is your favourite movie, which you mention at every opportunity.
That's true. Well, yeah, yeah. No, this is more, that's probably more action-focused than this
yeah,
is.
Yeah, this one is very, look, you know, apart from the fifth dimensional wormhole, this is quite, this feels very grounded.
Yes.
There's no, they're not like, well, we're out to save the world, we're just a bunch of cowboys and we're going to strap on the hyperdrives and get out into space.
Pew, pew.
It's very much a case of, relativity rules and aging decades, so you can't see your family anymore drools, you know?
That's right, yeah. I feel like the only reason he got to make this movie is because he capped off the Dark Knight trilogy and then Warner Brothers just went, just do literally whatever.
Yeah, wow. Yeah,
because this Spielberg was going to do this for years. The only person who was still on board was Kip Thorne, the physicist, who worked a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff to make sure the science of it makes sense.
Oh, I thought this was an original Nolan.
A lot of it is. Like, he changed so much.
Because he is a writer
it.
On this, yeah.
Yes. So much of it has been changed to what it's become. More sad farming. There's only elements of it that kind of carry over. But with this movie, because this just shows the peak at where he's at, he earned $20 million and 20% of the gross of this movie. So that's just, I mean, that's director staying power, Mason. You don't
get
that anymore.
Absolutely not.
You don't see, I'm trying to think of a director.
That's the thing, you can't anymore. How many are left? Look, as we've mentioned, like who is a known director that gets to make whatever they want? It's just Nolan and Michael Bay at this point, and Spielberg.
Yeah, well, that's right.
But the rest of it's just like, we'll bring you in for one movie, you got some different ideas, you're out, we're replacing you.
That's it, yeah.
I'm talking about Disney, that's who I'm talking
nobody
about.
Nobody notices.
Yeah.
Nobody notices. You're not a fan of this one, though, are you?
Look, here's the thing. I guess I've spent a long time, I saw it at cinemas,
yep.
And I guess I spent a lot of time thinking to myself, I hate this movie for a lot of reasons. I don't understand it, first of all.
Sure.
But you know what it is? This, for me, falls into the basket of very well-made movies that I never want to watch again.
Ah, so how was it watching it again?
I didn't. Well, it seemed very well made. It's very well put together. Again, we're in the Matthew Palooza.
You sure?
And you know he's great in this, but it's so grim. This movie's grim. There's no avenue you can explore in this movie that I don't think, oh, well, this is, this makes me sad.
Okay, so whatever way you look at it, what about the big blocky robot?
Okay, they're fun. The big AI fridge robots, the internet fridges are fun. We've got these sort of former Marine Corps AI robots, which I guess were designed for deadly strike missions or something in the past.
Well, the idea was, because everything is very well thought out why it exists in this universe. I deep dived into the behind-the-scenes stuff, as I do all the time, and I barely scratch the surface on any of it. But this I know, because they wanted this world to already exist, there'd be no point in robots like this existing outside of, I don't know, the military used to use them. But, you know, in this world of dying corn and sad farmers and baseball, you can't even get a hot dog. By the way, I love the world building of this, like this dying planet. I think it's done really
well.
See,
I don't love it, and that's where we're going with
it,
you know.
No, I don't love it. I love it.
You love the idea that billions of people died prior to the events of this movie. Love that.
I think it's well...
You're like, less of a line at the movies, don't mind if I do.
They're not making movies. You go in and they're just showing reruns of that Kevin Costner, My Dad's a Baseballer movie. What's it called? Field of Dreams.
Oh, so this is a sad universe where they're just showing sad movies.
That's right, exactly, right. Yeah. But I think the world is really well established. Mm. I mean, you believe it, right? I don't mean like, wow, what a dream planet to live on.
No.
I just mean it makes sense.
Well, we make sense. So should we just briefly touch on the plot?
Sure, go.
So it's several decades in the future, and
it's like 2070 or something like that.
It's something around there, and it's 2067. We'll get emails.
but then the time changes.
Oh, then the time changes.
More emails. Oh telling my god! Us the time
it's a variety of different times that are in the future of now. Oh no! But what if this video still exists at that point? It won't be the future at all.
We'll be dead.
We'll be dead. It's fine. Don't worry about it. No, we'll still. They'll put YouTube comments on our tombstones. They'll come up virtually. Anyway, it's the future. And because of environmental degradation, all the crops are dying. There's only corn left.
Yep.
It looks like the environment's going to completely collapse and humanity won't be able to survive anymore. But it turns out there may be a chance for survival. Mm-hmm. Ghosts. Because Matthew McConaughey is a sad farmer on a sad corn farm.
That's right.
And in his house, spooky happenings are happening.
But is it spooky or is it more like, check out this fucking bookshelf watch?
I mean, it's spooky science, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but no one's
any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from spooks, is what they say.
The television show Spooks?
Yeah.
With Matthew McFadden?
Mm-hmm, that's the one.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good.
David Oyelowo is in this movie.
Oh my goodness, he's in Spooks. He is too. Yeah, he is too. Ollie, stop backing, you're ruining the podcast. Ollie!
You're ruining our great take, Ollie.
We'll get her inside and then we'll continue the podcast.
Yeah, nice.
All right, she's in.
But anyway, James, the spooks.
Yeah.
The spooks point him in the direction of a government facility.
Yes.
And that government facility is happy to see him because as a former NASA test pilot and engineer, he can join their secret NASA squad, which is going to head to a wormhole, which is going to potentially lead them to new habitable planets that maybe humanity can go to. Or... all of humanity can die and they'll just repopulate those planets with some embryos and stuff.
Which is cool too.
Just scatter them all about.
Yeah, just it's like fertilizing a garden.
Just spray them out.
Yeah, just see what happens, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just don't mix it with weed killer. They'll probably be all right. But getting back to Tars the robot.
Yes.
So much of this, including him, is practical. There's minimal use of green screen. All the stuff in space is done with front projections, so the actors can be like, we're really in space. I could do my actual acting for once.
Is that a la The Mandalorian?
No, it's a bit before that time. Those are big, like, LED screens. They're probably not LED. Just don't. Just leave me alone. It's like what they used for Oblivion.
Sure.
I've got a video on it if people want to check out the kind of history of, like, front projection and rear projection and all those other things. But here's some other things that you might be like, what else is practical? Is it just the robots and the screens you're asking? I hear you asking.
James, is it just the robots and the screens? I'm really genuinely curious.
You're an idiot, Mason.
Oh, my God. I was set up to fail there.
First of all, Tars is based off Marvin from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, that's why
He's got jokes.
He's got a sarcasm percentage.
Yeah. Okay, so there's like a dude when they're walking who stands behind in like a green suit or whatever, maybe not. And so that's how it works. Like a lot of the time when they're walking around, they're really there. They did build CGI models for a lot of this stuff anyway, but all the unfolding, all of those things, often that's a real thing that's happening. The bookshelf Tesseract. That they get lost in, or Matthew McConaughey does. They built that for real. That's a real physical set.
Oh, they built a real black hole.
Yeah, they built a real black hole.
Oh
don't get in it, though. Get away from it.
Only Matthew McConaughey would be so bold.
That's right. Yeah, so a lot of that, I mean, there is digital enhancement in that set, but a lot of that is real. Also, most of the spaceships are miniatures as well. Again, they doubled them with CGI also.
Right, but could have fully CGI'd them, chose not to. And
exactly.
I think that... they look better as a result.
I agree. And things like the water planet that they visit, that they're like, let's check out this horrible water planet.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's all real. That's a real kind of spaceship that they plonked there.
They built a real spaceship on a real water planet.
Right, it really works. Wow, they went through the black hole, they came out.
Incredible.
That's where they did their filming. So yeah, it's real sets, real locations for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's things like they created a black hole, you know, using digital technologies.
That explains it.
That is not real. But but they did learn a lot of things about black holes, apparently, in regards to, because you've got to put in all the physics and the data and the math and all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, oh, did we learn some things about black holes? Don't ask me about specifics, but I know that they did. Because also when they finally got a picture of a black hole a few years ago, they're not dissimilar.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Kip Thorne, I mentioned him.
Yes.
He was on this film beforehand. So early in pre-production, he laid down two guidelines that Christopher Nolan had to strictly follow.
Okay.
Nolan was at his whim, Mason.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And what are those two rules? Number one, no having sex with a black hole.
Immediately broke it.
Number two, don't mention that to anyone.
So nothing would violate the established physical laws.
Okay.
And all the wild speculation would have to spring from science and not from the creative mind of the screenwriter. So it had to be based in reality, essentially. So
he just stood behind Christopher Nolan with a ruler. And every time Nolan was like, okay, but what if aliens? He's clattering on his word processor. What if aliens? And he just rapped him on the knuckles. No, Christopher Nolan. No.
So Nolan, though, would make him go away and be like, listen, I want to do this thing. Is this possible?
Kip, go away.
And Kip would be like, it's not possible. And he's like, well, why don't you go away and think about it and try.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'd make it possible. And often they'd find like a workaround to make the science make some kind of sense. But the only thing that he didn't budge on was you can't go faster than the speed of light.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only thing that Christopher Nolan wanted to include in this movie that they didn't end up doing. Yeah.
Interesting.
So instead they did gravity bookshelf watches.
Gravity bookshelf watches, perfect.
Equals love.
Yep, that's exactly right. The power of, you know what I wanted to talk about? Coop, Matthew McConaughey's Coop.
Yeah.
What a great dad in this movie.
What do you say that?
He's just a good dad. He's always there. He's.
Thought you were being. You're gonna zig and then zag. And
no,
like, well,
I'm
no,
being
he lived
genuine.
For 100 years.
I mean, he did that, but I mean, before abandoning his children for hundreds of years, he backed his kids. He's like, my kids want to go to college, and he's like, you better let them in college, kind of thing.
And
one of Murph is always fighting with the other students because she believes in the real history of the world and not weird moon landing conspiracies and stuff like that. And he's like, it's good you fought those kids.
Someone's gonna be like, well, actually, the moon landing was technically it was faked. People don't often know that.
Well, that's more engagement in the comments. So that's why I did that on
purpose.
And
also, if you think that, we believe that too, don't we, mate?
We sure do. We're on your side.
And if you don't believe it, well, you could take this as sarcasm, couldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Either way, buy our merch.
But what I also like about that relationship is it's never fully resolved. Like, nobody really gets any proper closure. That it's absolutely heartbreaking to me as a father, Mason,
yes,
when he leaves. Mm-hmm. And then when he gets that message, you know, 30 years on when they're the same age. And by the end of the movie, when they finally are reunited, she's got her own family and she's moved well past him. She's dying, but she's like, I don't even really need you anymore. For him, it's like weeks. For her, it's X number of decades.
Yeah, right.
So you don't. Yeah, it's not a real metaphor.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, and again, it is a sort of a great metaphor for family and parents and children, and eventually the children grow to a point where maybe they feel they don't need their parents and stuff like that. And I think that's a great metaphor. But again, it's so sad.
It's so sad.
Why you make me feel so sad, Christopher Nolan?
Also, when he goes to find Anne Hathaway at the end, we hope you've seen this because otherwise, what is this? How long has she been there for? Mm. Is she dead by now?
Well, that's true. I mean, it's harder to say with Anne Hathaway because in, you know.
It's harder to say with Anne Hathaway.
We're
this
not
is
in
our segment called. It's harder to say with Anne Hathaway.
We're not in Les Miserables right now, so stop that. But like, obviously, you know, in a previous scene in the movie, you could tell that it's been decades, you know, having seen one particular character because they've gone a bit bald and they're wearing a bathrobe now.
I think he was mostly bald beforehand.
I can tell. He's got a couple more decades of being bald on him.
Good, yeah. Okay. I don't think my anxiety in a movie has ever been higher than when they're down on that water planet.
Again, for the one person who was still watching this despite having never seen the movie Interstellar.
I bet there's more than one.
You might be a little lost, but here's a way to make you feel even more lost. One planet exists in sort of a black hole relativity well. So if you go down to that planet, every hour you spend on the planet equals 7 years for the rest of the universe, effectively.
So if you just want to have a bit of a splish splash,
that's going to cost you some time. Yeah, you know? You're going to miss your kids. You're going to miss some of your kids' birthdays, you know?
That's right, yeah. I don't understand why when they flew down, they weren't just like, this is all water, let's get the fuck out of here.
Right.
I don't understand why they landed and looked for anything. Apparently also that wave that they see leaving is the wave that killed the previous person.
Like, yeah, right.
That's how far the time dilation is kind of stretched. Uh-huh. And you'll notice also there's like a ticking clock sound in the background of this scene.
Uh-huh.
And every tick represents one day on Earth.
Oh,
so there's
really?
This sense of like foreboding the entire time. And then when they do get trapped there for at least a few hours, it's just like, what have you done? This is just devastating.
Absolute gooses.
Yeah. What were they going to do down there anyway? Just set up a bunch of trestle tables to stand on? Like,
they were going to set up some inflatable flamingos and such and just hope that all of humanity's happy to just float around on them drinking tropical drinks.
Yeah.
And you would be.
Why do they keep getting tricked into going to bullshit planets?
I don't know.
Matt Damon's there ruining everyone's day.
Thanks a bunch, Matt Damon.
People are like, what if it's the same character from this character from the one where he went on Mars? What if you play different characters in different movies?
What if it's also Jason Bourne? What if he's, well, look out, he's got to smash your face with a pen. I tell you what,
do you think you age in those cryopods in this future?
See, that's another aspect of it that I was just like, ugh, just imagine being vacuum frozen like a piece of steak.
Love it.
I think you would a little bit, but
So it's like when you do pull out a steak from the fridge that you've had in there for a couple of years.
I mean, it's still edible.
Yeah,
but do you really want to?
No. So that's what happened to Matt Damon.
Yeah, just not as
steak
edible as you think.
Bad.
Yeah,
but that
you'd be like, wouldn't mind a bit of Matt Damon for dinner. He is so tender and delicious. And then you take him out of the pod and you're like, I guess.
It's chewy.
Didn't buy anything else at the shop.
He's in his late 40s as well, isn't
he? Right.
So he's not going to be at his best. Yeah. What do you think of the score? Because it's big organs all the time.
Yes.
Hans Zimmer was asked by Christopher Nolan to just reinvent, do something new. Because I think after Inception, it was like...
Big organs all the time.
Big because after Inception...
James, please.
Yes. After Inception and the soundtrack to that, it soaked into the consciousness of the public. And ruined everything.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But
it's a conscious step beyond that, yes.
So, but this, I feel, isn't as... This hasn't been copied, like, at all.
No,
so
absolutely not. It's meant to be more subtle. I mean, it's meant to be more subtle, I think.
I like it.
I also like it.
If there's one thing I don't like in this movie, though, it's very long and slow docking sequences. I remember that at the time when I saw it. If I could take something out, it's like a ship spinning while another ship comes in to click.
That's 2001, baby.
Yeah, what
that's
is,
an homage,
yeah.
One would assume.
Yeah, there you go. Getting back to that water planet, though, here's a fun fact about the water planet.
I'm ready.
Although Doyle is presumed drowned, do you remember the guy from...
Wes Bentley,
mm-hmm. weird beard guy from yes. Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. After being struck by a tidal wave on Miller's planet, his suit appears intact. And when they leave and he's just there face down.
Uh-huh.
So meaning it's remotely possible that he could have survived the impact and is merely unconscious. Given the extreme time dilation on this planet, a rescue was very possible. Assuming the mission were to be dispatched from Cooper Station orbiting Saturn, it would take only 9 hours in relative time for Doyle to be rescued, but over 65 years would have to have passed for the rest of the world. So there you go.
So in conclusion... I mean, so that initially built me some hope of like, oh, that's actually a nice little button on this movie. Maybe they could go back and rescue some of the people that they left behind. But then I'm like, 65 years, people probably wouldn't bother.
It's too long, isn't
it? It's a long time.
You get down, then you come back up, your daughter hates you and whatever. Mm-hmm. You don't want any
more
of that,
than she did already, yeah.
That's right. Casey Affleck he's not having a good time on the farm. Do you want a fun fact?
I know. Yes, like of course facts. I like, yes.
I've just got the one fun fact. One fun fact. One, just one. Dr. Kip Thorne won a scientific bet against Stephen Hawking.
You love this Dr. Kip Thorne so much.
He was so involved in the creative process. I've watched a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, Mason.
Get a load of this Kip Thorne stan over here. Oh, your Kip Thorne standing so cringe, James. But go on.
Kip Thorne won a scientific bet against Stephen Hawking using the astrophysics theory that underlies this movie. As a consequence, Hawking had to subscribe to Penthouse magazine for a year.
Oh, he had to.
If you know anything about Stephen Hawking's personal life, it wouldn't have been much of a stretch for him to subscribe to this magazine. I'm not throwing shade. Do what you got to do, man.
Right.
Live your life. But yeah. I don't think it was like, oh, no, how embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go. Did you know, Mason, one of the most popular videos on my channel is a video explaining this movie from years back.
Really? Okay.
And people fucking hate it.
You just said it was one of your most popular videos.
Sometimes the things that you make that get the most traction aren't your best work.
Let's interesting. All right.
So I don't disagree with a lot of that.
When you say you explained the movie Interstellar, did you do that using research or did you just sort of wing it?
I just kind of wung it. Wung it?
Yeah, you wung it. And it's that kind of rigorous scientific research that led to whatever happened there.
I think my mistake is also I should have answered it in question form to be like, dot point.
What's okay, right.
Anyway, it's neither here nor there. It's done. But what I'd love people to do is just go to that video, find a mean comment, and just reply, actually, this is a really good video, just to make me feel better about this video.
Absolutely. Sounds really like a good fun thing to do.
Anyway, I like it. Sure, they borrow that paper folding time thing from Event Horizon and other movies. But, you know, it's exposition light for the most part, would you say?
That's true. Mm-hmm.
I like it. I really like this movie. It's not my favorite of his movies. Mm-hmm. But I think it's, coming back to this, I think for me it held up really well. And I like the tragedy of it. I like the sadness of it. I just like to sit in it and go, oh, boo, I feel bad.
Right. Does it affect you more now that you are, in fact, a father?
I think so, yeah, definitely.
Look, it certainly affects me more in the sense that, you know, I did watch this and go, oh, you know, it's all going to be lost. All the content I've created over the last few years.
That'll be in your tombstone. It'll scroll.
Yeah, I guess it will. Yeah, that's
aliens
true.
Aliens will come down and go, people really hate this Interstellar video that he made. Anyways, this has been Caravan of Garbage. This has been our Christopher Nolan trilogy. Can you believe we did every Christopher Nolan film?
It's a Nolan Palooza, baby.
We did it. It's how he would have wanted it.
That's right.
It's how you, the audience, want it. Next week, with the arrival of Milan, we're finally going to put out our Milan video, which we recorded a million years ago.
Mm.
But if you do want to see that early, which I know a lot of people like to do, you can actually go to bigsandwich.co, sign up. It's only $9 a month. You get a bonus podcast. You get early podcasts. You get early videos. We do a comic book club, don't we?
That we absolutely do. We talk in depth about some comic books.
That's right. And of course, audio commentaries. Four movies. It's kind of like a Patreon tier, but also that we control. So Patreon doesn't take a big chunk of our money. We have a Patreon, but get out of here, Patreon. We're sick of your business. And we don't want it. Except we need that too also, obviously. Yeah. If you've got a suggestion for Caravan of Garbage, leave it below. I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
Did you leave a like on this video?
Yes.
Good. All right, guys. See you next week.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you very soon.
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.